All right, so a few weeks ago, it was fall break, and me and my family wanted to get out of town for a day trip, and we went up to Silver Beach in St. Joseph's, Michigan. If you've never been, you should go because you might never want to make the drive to Florida again. It's so beautiful. It's close, and the trees were changing colors. It was such a scenic view. It was great, but there was one thing that we saw on up going up 31 North that caught all of our attention. It's this thing right here. Have you seen this before? Just past Kokomo. And my first thought is this guy is really serious about protecting his property. But I posted this on social media, and my friend Pat Tal said, "Aren't you glad to know that the citizens of central Indiana take their alien defense system so seriously, right?" I mean, that's pretty serious to have that out there. Now, I can't speak for all of you, but me and my kids thought, my wife didn't agree with this, but me and the kids thought it would be fun to have that in our front yard. But considering that our HOA makes us hide our garbage cans, I'm pretty sure that that can is strictly forbidden in our neighborhood. Now, as we turn a corner to jump into scripture this morning, I have a question that I want to challenge you to wrestle with, and it has everything to do with that canon, okay? Is your faith in Jesus anything like that decommissioned canon? Does it have any similarities? Because we can debate on whether or not we think it's cool or we think it's gaudy. We could debate that, no problem. But one thing is obvious. It hasn't worked in a long time. It's just for show. It's nothing more than an elaborate yard decoration or a conversation starter at best. And that's fine because it's a really cool old canon. But what we're going to see today in scripture is if that's the way you and I live out our faith in Jesus, if it's just words and it's not backed up with actions, there's no substance to it, scripture says that's not only dangerous, it's actually deadly. And so we're going to see what we can learn about this from scripture today. So if you want to open a Bible to James chapter 2, if you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles under the seats in front of you. If you're not familiar with the book of James, it's towards the back half of the New Testament, towards the end of the Bible, right after the book of Hebrews and just before 1 Peter. Okay, today we're kicking off a brand new series that we're calling Generous Church. And in this series, we want to learn how to live as generous followers of Jesus in every aspect of our life. And so over the next 4 weeks, what you're going to see is me and our lead pastor, Paul Mumaw, we're going to trade spots week to week. Paul will be here next week talking about the heart behind generosity, the heart behind why we give. And in the weeks that follow, we're going to talk about being generous with your words and generous with your finances. But today, we're going to focus our attention on the way that we express our faith in and our love for Jesus by being generous with our deeds and our actions that are done in his name. And to do that, we're going to learn from someone who knew Jesus better than anyone because he grew up alongside Jesus as his little brother. Now, can you imagine having Jesus as your big brother? I don't know if Mary and Joseph ever said it out loud, but you know they were thinking, why can't you just be more like Jesus? He always gets it right. In fact, if I were Jesus' parents, I think I'd be tempted to like, just do what he says. Don't even listen to me. Just do what he says. That was the reality for this man named James. And at some point in James' life, he saw his big brother Jesus resurrected from the dead, and he realized, oh, he's not just my big brother. He is the Savior of the world. He is God's Messiah. And so James started following Jesus. James became a key leader in the early church in Jerusalem, and he went on to write a letter to followers of Jesus that's been recorded for us, and it's creatively named the Book of James. And in James chapter 2, we're going to look at some words that James speaks that are so powerful. They're so clear on this idea of claiming to have faith and the importance of backing it up with actions. Look at what James says in James chapter 2, verse 14. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds, can such faith save them? Okay, those are strong words. But if you read down to verse 20, he says, faith not backed up by actions is useless. In verse 26, he says, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. Now, James sounds a little hangry. Somebody needs to give this guy a Snickers. Like, calm down, James. You're a leader of the church. You can't talk to people that way. But he's passionate about this. And here's his point. Faith in Jesus without works for Jesus, in James' words, is dead and useless. And it's worth noting that in the five chapters of the book of James, he mentions the word faith 16 different times, but 11 of the 16 are in James chapter 2 between verses 14 and 26. In 12 verses, he mentions faith 11 times, and 8 of those times are in connection with someone who would claim to have faith in Jesus, but has nothing to show for it in their life. And just to be clear, when James talks about faith being dead, it's worth noting that he's not comparing someone who's had faith for a long time and someone that's new to the faith. That's not his point. He's not talking about a person with mature faith or someone with immature faith, or a person with great faith versus someone with a little faith. Jesus said just a little bit of faith can move a mountain. So James isn't talking about the size of our faith. He's talking about the substance, what it's made up of. And he's really clear that claiming to have faith in Jesus without living your life in a way that backs that up, well, in his words, it's really no faith at all. It's a dead faith. This week we had someone come and talk to our staff about retirement plans. We've got a new company that we're doing retirement plans through. And I thought about, as the guy was talking, I thought about this. You can talk about having a retirement plan. I guess you can set one up, but if you never put anything in it, what's going to happen when you try to draw from it in retirement? There's nothing to draw from. I heard this explained this way too. I want you to imagine your faith in Jesus like a warm cup of coffee or tea or whatever it is that you like to drink. If you're carrying this and you bumped into somebody, if there's something in it, it's going to spill out onto them. If there's nothing in it, oh, no big deal, right? This is what James is saying. You live your life, you live your faith in such a way that everybody that bumps into you, they're coming in contact with your faith. Now, before we go any further, though, we have to really zero in on this, and I want you to listen to this carefully because it's easy for us to assume that we know what James is talking about. James is not saying that you can earn your righteousness with God through the good deeds that you do. That is not his point. He is not making a point that you need to work really hard to pay off some of your sins and trust Jesus for the rest. If that were true, his big brother wouldn't have had to die on a cross to save us from our sins. A few hundred years before James and Jesus walked the earth, the Old Testament prophet Isaiah explained just how our righteous acts look before God. Isaiah 64:6 says this, "We are all infected and impure with sin. When we display our righteous deeds, they're nothing more than filthy rags." So Isaiah says, I want you to think of the best things that you've ever done, the things that you would put on your resume, and you'd be like, ooh, look at me, I'm a good person. And Isaiah says, filthy rags before a holy God. In fact, if you want to do some research on this on your own, if you look at the original Hebrew word that he uses, and I'm not trying to be gross here, like there's a lot of meaning behind it. Basically, our righteous deeds are like used toilet paper. Isaiah's words, not mine. You can do the research for yourself. I mean, those are some really clear words. That's a really vivid word picture of just how useless our righteous deeds done apart from faith are. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says in the New Testament. After Jesus' resurrection, he writes this in Romans 3, "For everyone has sinned." That's all of us. We've all sinned against God. We've all fallen short of God's glorious standard. "Yet God in his grace freely makes us right in his sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins." And then in Ephesians chapter 2, he says this, verse 8, "God saved you by his grace when you believed." In other words, when you put your faith in the work that Jesus has done for you. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. And then listen to this last part. Salvation is not a reward for the good things that we've done, so none of us can brag about it. Now, is he going against what James says? No, actually, he's saying, listen, you are saved through faith in what Jesus has done for you. So it brings up a really good question then. What does James mean when he says that we're saved, or we need to put our faith into action for Jesus? Well, let me remind you of the truth of the gospel, okay? The message of the gospel is that all of us have sinned. None of us measure up to God's perfect standard, but God doesn't want us to die apart from him, so he sent Jesus to be born into the world that Jesus created. Born just like us, lived on this earth as a human just like us so that he could die in our place, but he lived a perfect life. He never sinned against God. So when we talk about putting our faith in Jesus, we're putting our faith in what he has done for us, what we can never do for ourselves. So before we move on, I've got some phrases, and I want you to repeat them out loud because they're true. And it's going to help us understand the point that James is making here. So repeat after me. The good things I do can't earn my salvation with God. Without faith in Jesus, my good deeds are like used toilet paper. Isaiah's words, not mine. Those are Isaiah's words, not mine. My salvation comes through faith in Jesus alone. That's the message of the gospel. That's what all the writers of the New Testament talk about. That's what we believe here at Genesis. And this is the point that James is making, but let's ask the question. If we're saved by grace through faith in what Jesus has done for us, what does James mean when he says that faith in Jesus without works for Jesus is dead and useless? Well, look at what else he says. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith, but they have no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. So James is addressing so-called Christians that would say, oh, I say all the things, I do all the things. But he's like, yeah, but you don't have anything to show for it. Your faith, it's useless. It's no different than seeing someone in your church family and saying, gosh, that really stinks. I'll see you on Sunday. Charles Schulz, the creator of the Charlie Brown Peanuts comic strip, used this passage of scripture to create this comic. And you'll notice that Linus and Charlie Brown, they see Snoopy shivering in the cold. And what's their response? Hey, Snoopy, be of good cheer. Yeah, be of good cheer. I mean, those are well-meaning words, but they leave and Snoopy is still cold and he's confused. This is the point that James is making here. You can't just say things without backing up your faith in Jesus through the things that you do. James says, in the same way, faith by itself, if not accompanied by action, is dead. And it wasn't just James. His big brother Jesus said some things on this too. Matthew 7. A good tree produces good fruit and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit, listen to this, is chopped down and thrown into the fire. I think that's a picture of eternal separation from God without faith in Jesus. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, Jesus says, you can identify people by their actions. So James and Jesus are saying the same things. If you want to know that someone has faith in Jesus, they produce good fruit. David Platt summarizes it this way. He says, the actions you see on the outside are evidence of what's going on inside of them. Now, our family has been the recipient of this kind of faith from many of you. Back in September, my wife had major surgery. And some of you immediately jumped into action and you started a meal train for us and it filled up immediately. We had a whole month of food in no time. And I had people like, Jerry, we want to bring you food. And I'm like, please don't. We got a mountain of cookies. I need a rower so I can fit back into my jeans. I don't need any more food, okay? But so many people wanted to help. Well, at the end of the meal train, Casey said, you know, I think I'm ready to start cooking for our family again. And so I had the fun task of reaching out to the three ladies and saying, hey, we don't really need you to make us meals. And one of them said, I can't believe you're firing me. And I'm like, I'm not firing you. I just take it up with my wife, okay? She doesn't want your food, not me. Now, at the same time, those ladies were so gracious. But at the same time, there was something else happening. There was a family here at Genesis that reached out to me and they wanted to talk. And they said, hey, look, we just both lost our jobs and we don't know how we're gonna make ends meet. Is there something, can Genesis help us? And I said, yes. We've got a benevolence policy. I'd love to talk with you about that, but sit tight on something. And so I went back to the three ladies and I said, hey, would you be willing to help someone the way that you were going to help me? And they're like, absolutely. What do you need? And I told them the story without telling them who it was. And I said, I think the biggest need might be for like grocery cards. And all of these ladies were like, yes, absolutely. One of them reached out to their group and they got a bunch of cards. And so they all got them to me. And then on a Sunday morning, the next Sunday, just a few days later, I was able to bless this family with gift cards from people that they didn't know, and the people that gave didn't know who they gave to, and they were so overwhelmed. They were like, I just cannot believe that this church is that generous. And I said, that's what it looks like to be the hands and feet of Jesus. This is how we want to serve people. Now, does that mean that Jesus loves the people that gave the gift cards more than the people that received the gift cards? It's a trick question. The answer is no, he does not love them anymore. But is Jesus honored by their willingness to put their faith into action? Yes, he is. It's proof of their faith in Jesus. And this is just one of the many examples of how we get to be the hands and feet of Jesus here at Genesis. And we get this concept from the early church. If you look back to the book of Acts, it's a history of the early church. And in Acts chapter 4, the church maybe was a few months old. The resurrection was a new thing. People were coming to faith in Jesus. The church was figuring out how to be the church. And in Acts chapter 4, this is what we read. All the believers were united in heart and mind, and they felt that what they owned was not their own, so they shared everything that they had. The apostles testified powerfully to the resurrection of the Lord, and God's great blessing was upon them all. There was no needy people among them, because those who owned land or houses would sell them and bring the money to the apostles to give to those in need. In other words, the early churches, they were figuring out how to be the church. Like, well, we need to be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so they started meeting real needs in practical ways in the name of Jesus as fast as possible. Now, it's probably good for you to know that every budget cycle, we set aside a certain amount of funds every year for our benevolence policy. And those funds are set aside to help people in our church family that have specific needs when life blows up. And so the way that we divvy those funds out, there's a policy, there's limits on all those things and how many times a year we can do it, but they're set aside for people that worship with us regularly, serve in our ministries, they're part of a group, and they give to fund our mission, okay? So there's parameters around it, just like there was in the early church. And we do this because we see it modeled in Acts chapter 4, and we wanna be a church that loves one another well. We wanna be a church that is the hands and feet to Jesus to one another. But I want you to imagine what could happen if, as a church family, we could be so wildly generous with our deeds and our words and our finances that we weren't able just to do that for our people, but we were able to do that locally and around the world. And we're working on it. But I think we got a long way to go. And I want to give you some examples of how you can participate with us in this. Now, speaking of being generous with our deeds, I want to speak to anyone that considers Genesis to be their church home. If you're new or you're not a follower of Jesus, this isn't for you. Just listen. But if you're a follower of Jesus and you're not using your gifts and your talents and your abilities to build up Genesis Church, don't feel guilty from me. I don't even think that you need to feel guilty before Jesus, but I do think you're sitting on some resources that he wants you to use to build up this church. That's the way he's created us to work as followers of Jesus, to be generous in every way that we live. And so we talk all the time about serving in Gen Kids or the host team or the cafe or the worship team or with student ministry. And so if you've got gifts to serve in those capacities, let's talk. Maybe you've never done anything like that before. I promise you, if you start to serve in different areas, you're going to discover spiritual gifts that you never knew that you had. Or maybe there's a ministry you'd like to help start. Let's talk. But how can you use your gifts and abilities to build up the church? Now, let me give you an example of some people that are doing this within our church family. A few weeks ago, I told you the story of Stacy Joseph. Stacy was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer, and things didn't look good, but she trusted the Lord to heal her, and he healed her completely. And ever since then, for years, she has been using her life to serve in the name of Jesus. And one of the ways that she serves is on our Helping Hands team. These are people that make meals for people when their life blows up. And recently she said, Jerry, I've got some faithful people, but I need to expand that team because the few people that are doing it, they're getting tired. And so Genesis Church, if you wanna know how to make a practical impact in the life of someone whose life just blew up, they had a baby, they had a surgery, they lost a job, here's what you can do. Scan the QR code on the back of your seat or scan the QR code on the screen. It's going to take you to a place at the very top. It's going to say Helping Hands. If you click on Helping Hands, you put your information in there. And then in the comment section, just write, interested in helping with meals. Okay? We're going to connect you with Stacy and her team. And then every time there's a need, we'll let you know. And if you're able to help, you can make a meal for people. Really simple. If you can't, you can pass on it, okay? Now, maybe you're like me and you're like, man, you don't want me making food for you. But you know what? You know what my family learned recently? Gift cards are so wonderful in a pinch. So grocery gift cards to restaurants. DoorDash, I think, is a gift from heaven, right? If you've never used it, it's so incredible. So if you're not into making food, what if you could provide grocery gift cards or DoorDash gift cards for people that they could use in the moment whenever they needed it? So if you want to be a part of that, scan that QR code on the back of the seat. Click on Helping Hands. Go down to the comment section and say, I'm interested in helping with gift cards. And the next time we have an issue, we're just going to send it out. And we're going to say, if you're able to help, let us know. All right? This is how we want to see our church function. And the cool thing about gift cards is you can give in increments of $20, $25 when you can to meet specific needs in the moment. Now, wouldn't it be cool to be a part of a church that could help in those ways, to take care of one another in the moment, in the name of Jesus? But wouldn't it be cool if we could find ways to do that outside the walls of our church? That would be incredible. That's the kind of generosity that we want to see grow here at Genesis. Now, earlier I mentioned Stacy Joseph. She's found another way for people to serve here at Genesis. Back in the spring, she got an email from our partner at Food for Souls, and so she started interacting and engaging with them. And since July, Stacy has once a month got a group of people together, different group every time. Sometimes it's been a family, sometimes it's been a small group. Last week it was these folks. This is from last Sunday. This half of this picture is a student ministry leader and all of her girls. And for 45 minutes, they packed about 80-ish meals. And then they were able to take those meals to homeless folks downtown through Food for Souls. And Food for Souls has told Stacy recently, the homeless people that we serve are telling their homeless friends because they've heard about this church named Genesis that's making free meals. That's pretty amazing. And so if you're looking for a way for you or for your group or for your family to serve, this is a once a month opportunity. And Stacy's all fired up about taking our people to deliver that food. But Food for Souls has said the cool thing is it's opening up doors for us to share the gospel and to pray for people. There's a movement happening there, and it's because our folks are serving in this capacity. And here's one thing great about this picture. Every person on that screen serves on a Sunday morning. From Gen Kids to worship to the cafe to the tech team, you name it. These are people that understand, I don't serve to feel good about myself. I serve because I want to put my faith in Jesus into action. And so if you want to participate with that, scan the QR code, click on Helping Hands, go down to the comment section and write Food for Souls. And I'm going to put you in touch with Stacy and her team. And this could be a great thing for you and your family to do or your group to do. Or you could do it as an individual and meet new people. But Genesis Church, we want to see this kind of generosity grow all throughout our community. Now, I've got a couple more examples to share with you. Go ahead and throw up that next picture for me if you don't mind. Okay, so I'm going to start over in this corner. This is the Bieda family. And a few years ago, Frank Bieda's wife, Carol, passed away. And so this is his son and daughter-in-law. And they wanted to honor Carol, who loved to serve people in need. So they started a non-for-profit mowing lawns for people who can't mow their lawns when life blows up. They do it all for free. All the equipment, all the hours, everything. And they do it because they love Jesus and they love serving in his name. Okay, this next person is my friend Myrna. Myrna is one of my favorite people. She's got the best personality and the best smile. She serves out in the cafe. Myrna is retired from her first career, and now she is a caretaker for a lady in her late 90s. And Myrna told me recently, she gave me permission to say this. She said, Jerry, I'm on a fixed income, and I give what I can. I wish I could give more, but the thing that I can give is my time. And I love serving Jesus, and I love our church. I'll do anything that you need me to do. That's a faith that's alive and active. The next is Denver and Sandy Sanders. Now you'll notice, maybe you've seen Denver around, he's confined to that wheelchair because of a disease that doesn't allow him to stand. And it's affected his speech. But I'm gonna say that in this room, there's not a person with more joy. There's not a person that exudes the joy of Jesus more. And so Denver knows I'm limited in how I can serve, so he serves as a greeter right outside that door. And if you've never said hello to Denver, you're missing out. And I want to challenge you to say hello to him and engage with him, and you're going to be blessed because of it. And the last is my friend Noel. I think it's fitting that he's holding a box that says bubbly because he has a very bubbly personality. And the reason that Noel serves where he does right outside here in the welcome area is because his story with Jesus began by experiencing the hospitality of the church outside of the church walls. He was at one of his kids' games, and someone from their church came up and hugged him and expressed hospitality to him. And he said, his story is, these people are real. They serve a real God. And he began following Jesus. And the reason he serves there, he doesn't just serve there, he leads the team out there because he wants anyone that is new to Genesis to be seen, to be connected, to know that they have at least one friend when they leave. And all the time, guys, I call our connection cards. I'm like, hey, it's Jerry from Genesis, da da da. I'm like, I talked to Noel this week. They think Noel's our lead pastor. he is everywhere. And he leads a team of people that wants to engage people that are new. Maybe you want to serve with Noel. Maybe you want to serve in the cafe with Myrna. This is how we put our faith in actions on a Sunday, but we got to get better and get out into our community. Now, this reminds me of the words that Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. We've already read part of this passage. In Ephesians 2, Paul says this. Listen again. God saved you by his grace. It's a gift that you didn't deserve, but a gift he wanted to give us when you believed, when you put your faith in Jesus. And you can't take credit for it. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done, so no one can brag about it. Look at verse 10. This is so powerful. For we are God's handiwork. Some translations say workmanship. Some translations say masterpiece. The Greek word is the word poema, where we get our word poem. As followers of Jesus, we are God's masterpiece. Listen to this. Created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Here's the point Paul is making. When you and I put our faith in Jesus, we are given a new life. We are recreated in Christ to be the masterpiece of God and to do good works that glorify his son Jesus, our Savior, who will come to rule and reign forever and ever and ever. And so, my challenge to all of us is if you claim to have faith in Jesus, then put your faith in Jesus on display by the way you talk about him, in the way you interact with one another, in the way that you serve in simple ways. And you don't do it. If you do it well, everybody will hear Jesus and they won't see you. That's really, really important. Now, I want you to reach underneath your seat and grab one of those brown paper bags. Everybody grab a brown paper bag. Several years ago, Casey and I, we were leading a small group in our home in Louisville, Kentucky. And one of my friends, a single guy named Nevin, he said, it's the month of November, and he said, I think it kind of stinks that most of us get to spend time with our families on Thanksgiving, but some people work nights and weekends all the time. He's like, what could we do to bless those people? And so we bought a bunch of brown paper bags, and this was way back before smartphones. I still have the picture in my mind. We had a hallway, I don't know, we had 40 or 50 bags lined, and we were stuffing them with candy and goodies that people would want. This was back in the days of CDs, so we put sermon CDs in all of them. But we also put a $5 gift card to Starbucks, so there's something of a little bit of value. We dropped them in all these bags. We put invitations to our church, and then the 12 or so of us got in four different cars, and we spread out across the city. And we dropped off as many bags as we could. And the cool thing was, by the end, we were going into places that our friends had already been. So we'd walk in and like, oh, they've already been here. Thank you. We appreciate it. And it gave me this vision. What would it be like to be a church where people were like, oh, the people of Genesis, they were just here. They were telling us all about Jesus. So here's what I want you to do. I took some of my daughter's Halloween candy. Don't tell her. Stuffed it in here. So parents, that's a place to start. Fill it with things that you know people like. Drop a $5 gift card. Drop whatever you want in there. Create as many of these bags as you want. And then as a family or as a group, go out this month, the month of Thanksgiving, and show thanks in the Savior that has saved you by just giving a simple gift in the name of Jesus. Give as many of them as you want. Take pictures and post it on social media. Let us know. But the goal is that people interact with Jesus. You can write on one side, Jesus loves you. You can write, join us at Genesis Church, put service times on there. I don't care where they go to church. I want them to follow Jesus. If they end up here, that's great. But if they don't, as long as they're following Jesus, if they have interacted with Jesus and his people in simple ways, this will push us out of our comfort zones. It's just one small thing that we can do to put our faith in Jesus on display. Now, hear me. Good deeds like this do not save us. And we don't do them for the name of Genesis. We do them for the name of Jesus. That's so important. So I want to see, there's your challenge. I've given you your first bag. All the bags that are on the floor are left. I'm going to collect them and take them to Noblesville unless you guys want to gobble them up. Let's have a contest to see who can give away the most in the name of Jesus. Okay? Now, there's one other thing I want to circle back on, though. Earlier, I used the example, the illustration of the 401k savings account, right? I want to be really clear on this. Jesus has not come to fill and fully fund our 401k. He's come to do something so much better. He has come so that through faith in his death, his burial, and his resurrection, we are restored with our God. We are filled with his Spirit. We are recreated in the image of Christ to go into our world and to serve him. And when we die or he comes, we get to spend the rest of eternity with him. That's better than any 401k that we can fund. So if you don't know Jesus, if you're curious about who he is, if you've never verbalized your faith in him, I want to give you the opportunity to respond to Jesus today. And if you're curious about why we would do this kind of generosity, it's because he was generous to us first. So I'm going to be hanging out down here over the next few songs or after service. If you're ready to begin a relationship with Jesus, come find me. Or if you need prayer, when we're all done today, we've got people that would love to pray with you. But now we're going to respond to Jesus and we're going to sing to him and worship him for the generosity that he has shown us. Would you pray with me? Father in heaven, I'm so thankful for the power of your word. We believe that your word is true, it is holy, it is good. We believe that it has power, it reveals who Jesus is. So Holy Spirit, would you help us to be a people that respond to your word in humility, in thanksgiving, and in generosity? Jesus, we thank you for rescuing us from the penalty of our sins. And we pray that as we leave today, that we would be motivated to do good deeds in your name so you get the credit, not us. Would you help us to use our gifts, our talents, our abilities, our finances, our resources for your glory and not for ours while we wait for you to return? And Father, if there's anyone in this room that has not yet responded to Jesus, would you overwhelm them with the generosity of your Son? And by the power of your Spirit, would you call them to step into a new life with you today. Jesus, now we lift our hearts and our voices to you as we sing. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and worship with us?